Christ went a building to prepare God.
Be here today. Good to be with each and every one of you, and appreciate the good spirit in this meeting and God's presence. And this church and this association I appreciate, and all of you that's been around as long as I have know how much I appreciate Macedonia Church and all that that's here in this association. I do beg an interest in your prayers, and good to be with these preacher brethren. Been with Brother Heath a time or two, but the first time I've gotten to hear him preach, and all these other preachers, some of them I've been knowing all my life, and then Brother Bobby, I've known him a good while now, and appreciate these Loudermilk boys. All this has been said about the house of God. I'm going to have to continue with it. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And all this has been said about the house and the household. It's just opened up a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I want to build on it just a little bit, if you, Lord, allow me. But turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, and verse number 10. Ezekiel 43 and 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. That's kind of a strange comment, isn't it? Thou son of man. Now, that's what they called Ezekiel. Show the house to the house of Israel. Jesus Christ says, I am, or the Apostle Paul said about Jesus Christ, that he's the chief cornerstone. And if we're to build the house of God, we've got to go back to the chief cornerstone. And if anything gets out of kilter in building a house, what do you go back to? The cornerstone. But he says here, I want you to show the house to the house of Israel. If we're going to be showing anybody the house of God today, it's going to be the house of God.
Amen.
Because we just can't go out here and show anybody the house of God. And I appreciate that so much about the difference between what some people call the universal church and the local church. Yeah, I think, and I know that this is in the Old Testament, but he's saying, son of man, show this house to the house of Israel. And then he goes on, he says, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. You know, a lot of times old Randall Cagle wants to go and show people their iniquities by their iniquities. And I found out that don't work. But if you want to show somebody their iniquities, you show them the good Lord, and they'll see how inappropriate they are and how depraved they are.
Amen.
He says, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Now he's talking about here in this context, If we go back over here to chapter number 40, it's still in the context of this verse here. In chapter number 40, in verse number 2, he says, "In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and the measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the Son of Man said unto me, Son of Man, behold with thy eyes, and hear with thy ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel." This third verse right here is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he brought me hither, and there was a man who's had appearance of brass. Now, I don't know a lot about metal, but I know brass and bronze is a metal that's made up of two alloys. Now, I know some of y'all, they some metal people in this congregation here. And they know some metal. And brass and bronze is some tough stuff. And it's an alloy made up of two different types of metal. Copper and tin. And we see in the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the strength of Jesus Christ, that he was all man and he was all God. He had the appearance of man, but he was all God. And we see a beautiful picture of brass there, that you take either one of these elements, of these alloys, of tin and copper, and by themselves, they're a very weak metal. But you bring them together in this alloy, and there's one that's strength. And you take man by himself, and he's nothing. But you see the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being that of brass. And what did he say that he had here? He had a line of flax in one hand and had a measuring reed in the other. What is the line of flax for? To make you row straight. What's the measuring reed for? To measure out the right measurements. Now, I love y'all's building here. And I know very little about building, because most of the time when building happened, I always handled the dummy end of the ruler. Somebody smarter than me had the other end, and I always had the dummy end of the ruler. And I could handle that pretty good. And I always liked to be around people that knew how to build, because when you would see, they'd always pick a corner where they wanted to start. And I don't know which corner they picked here. But I can remember us building barns and building and building on and things like that. My daddy, he'd pick a corner. Or whoever he had over there, they'd pick a corner. And they'd set a stob on that corner. And then they would take a line and go to another corner. And then they'd make their boards out to an angle, and they'd set their angles and get it square right there. And once they got it square in that corner, they could build out from there. And we see that Jesus Christ, being that chief cornerstone, he was placed there as that sure foundation, that rock that cannot be moved, and that rock that everything is built off of. And I've seen in some buildings that I've helped on before, when you'd get on up a little further out, something would get out of kilter and they'd get out of square. And when they did, I could see the old timer, he would take his string, and where would he go back to? He'd go back to the corner. Because that was the sure place. Here we have this one that had the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. Anytime we get out of kilter today in the church, guess where we need to go to? Back to the cornerstone. We need to go back to the cornerstone. You know, I hear a lot of people a lot of times talk about wanting to go back. Most of the times when we want to go back, we don't go back far enough. Sometimes we just like to go back one generation or two generations. But if we're out of kilter, guess where we got to go back to? The cornerstone. And what we've got sure, we've got the Word of God that's sure. And we can measure everything by this Word of God. So he says here, show the house to the house. That, and if they be ashamed of all that they've done, show them the form of the house. And that word form means a pattern that has been pressed out. And Jesus Christ is our pattern. He's our form. He's been pressed out. And he says, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof. And that word fashion means the equipage, the furniture, and even as an armed ship that is ready for a voyage. And we've heard it all our life that the church is kind of like that ship that's been set sail. But in the church, it needs to have equipment. We need to be equipped. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in the Ephesian letter in the 4th chapter, talking about that there's some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints? That we can equip. And you show them the forms. You show them the going outs, the coming ins. You show them the pattern. And that's what I like about seeing new people in the church. That they don't know all the forms and primitive Baptist traditions. And you start talking about, well, the Friday night before the second Sunday and all these other terms that we're just used to. And they think, what are you talking about? See, sometimes we have to interpret our own things. But we think that they're just so used to it. But see, we've got to show them. And how do we do it? We show them Jesus Christ. We show them Jesus Christ, the coming ins thereof, the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof. And all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight. He didn't say write it in their hearts. He says, write it in their sights. Why? Because there's already been something else written in their heart. They've already been pricked in the heart. He says, write it in their sight that they may keep the whole, W-H-O-L-E, form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. When Brother Bobby's talking about that of making disciples, it takes training.
Yes.
We need to train some folks. In the last chapter of Matthew, he says, go into all the world and baptize them. He says, teach them, baptize them, and teach them some more.
Yeah.
See, this is a continuous thing. And I've seen it in my life. Well, we've taught them enough to get them baptized, and then we just leave them alone. And he says, teach them, baptize them, and continue teach them. Why? That they might be disciples. To love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, and to love their brethren. And love their neighbors as themselves. To be strong in the faith. To know the goings in and the comings out. And the ordinances and the laws and all the forms thereof. To do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof, round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Yes, we do have laws and ordinances in the house of God. And we need to hold to those things according to God's word. And the truth of those things according to God's word. And when I was thinking about the house, it made my mind go over here to Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 12, in verse number 6. And this is Abram when he passed through the land in the place of Shechem. This is in verse 6 of chapter number 12 of Genesis. And the Canaanite was then in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on his west and Ai on his east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. That word Bethel is a very interesting word, because that means the house of God. Beth means house, and El means God. El Shaddai. El means God. So this is the house of God. And he says, I want you to come to this house of God, and I want you to build an altar. And what is an altar? We need to be building some altars, because an altar is where God met with his people. They would build an altar in that day, and God would meet with them. They would give a sacrifice. But we don't do that kind of altars and sacrifices today. But he says, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, that we are to come and present to God on the altar of his praise and his glory. And we're looking for God to come down. We need to have altars where God comes down and meets with us in our households, in our homes. As Brother Heath was talking about, instructing and telling our children, we need to have an altar around the kitchen table where God comes and meets with us, because we're talking about him, and we're bringing ourselves and bringing our thing. And when we sit around and we take God's word and we open it up and we're instructing our children, as the Bible says that parents ought to bring up their children and to nurture in the admonition of the Lord, that we can see God coming down, because that is the house of God. Bethel. Now over in chapter 35 of Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, verse number 1, arise and go up to Bethel. Did you notice that language right there? He said, arise and go up to the house of God. Anytime we go to the house of God, we're going to have to go up. We go to the world, and we go to Egypt, we'll go down. But if we're going to go to God's house, we got to go up. And he says, I want you to go up to the house of God and dwell there. Now, if you turn me loose in this house right here, I'm talking about this meeting house, y'all probably got some rooms in here that you could probably get me lost. If you took me to your house, I know my house better than any other house. I know every crook and cranny. I know wherever squeak is, wherever greasy hinge is at. I know my house. Why? Because I live there. And we ought to know our houses. Why? Because we live there. He says, go dwell there and make thee an altar unto God. Another altar? Yeah. You need a place where God comes meet with you. That appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household. That's another interesting term. That's who lives in his house. His household. He says unto his household, and all that were with him. Now, there were some folks with him that didn't live in his household. He gives them three things. He says, I want you to build an altar. Now, I'm talking to you, homeowners now. You that belong to the house of God. He says here, build you an altar where God can come and meet with you. And then he says, put away strange gods. Mm-hmm. There's four things he says right there for us to do. He says, build an altar, put away the strange gods which are among you. Folks, we've got strange gods among us. If you don't believe me, just turn on your TV. Open up a book. Read your newspaper. We need to get rid of the strange gods that are among us. And then he says, and be clean. And change your clothes. Brother Bobby talked about changing your clothes. We're supposed to take off the garment of the old man and put on the garment of the new man. You know, there's people all through the Bible got in trouble because of the way they dressed. You know, when Jericho fell down and they got those the wedges of gold and the change of Babylonian garments. You know what? Why did he get those Babylonian garments? He wasn't going to wear them because they were different than the others. But he thought he had to have them. How many times we go out here and we think we got to have the world's garments? And then once we get them, we don't even wear them because we ain't going to be seen with them. See, we need to be careful of what we wear. And he says, build an altar, put away, be clean, and change your clothes. And let us arise. Here we go. We're going back up, folks. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Now I want you to drop down to verse number 7. Verse number 6. And Jacob came unto Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and came and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, and he fled from the face of his brother. Well, why did they change it? Now, we already established to you that the word El means God. Beth means house. So he says here, I want you to go and build you an altar and call the place El Bethel or El Bethel. And he says, I want you to call it and go worship there. And that's what we ought to call our meeting houses today, El Bethel. You know, this church and all of our churches, and churches have gotten trouble for worshiping their meeting houses. I've seen folks argue over getting new benches. I've seen people argue over on putting paddings on their benches. You think, well, you ain't that old. Well, I am. Putting carpet in their buildings. Because some people will worship the building. Now he makes a distinction here. He says, I want you to go up and worship the God of the house of God. That's what we've come today to. We didn't come to worship the building. We've come to worship the God of the building. We've come to worship Jesus Christ, the High, the Anointed, the Holy One, the One that is ruling and reigning today. And he says, Go up to the place that's called and worship the God of the house of God. Patterns. And the altar is where God meets with us. You know, many things about houses and the house of God, and y'all talked about it so well this afternoon, and seeing what it is. And one thing that Brother Heath, it caught my attention when you were talking about that we are living stones built up into a spiritual house. You know what that didn't say? He didn't say you're spiritual bricks. What's the difference between a brick and a rock? Bricks are identical. And rocks, I know everybody looked around. Yeah, I looked at this right here when he said that. I've looked at your rocks here. I've been in meeting houses where they've had bricks and they all look just alike. But every one of these rocks here has got different characteristics. My Mama Cagle, she collected rocks. And she loved to tell you where every one of them rocks. And at one time, she could tell you where every one of those rocks come from, where she collected them from. And some of them, even the history of it, when she'd go back to her old home place up in the mountains, and she'd pull off a brick, Brother Joe's back there smiling because he's already heard those stories, going and sitting down and her telling her story about those rocks. And one thing she'd always tell us every time, we knew we was going to get it every time she started telling us about those rocks, she'd say, there's no rock in here that's perfect. Every one of them's got a crack in it. You know, bricks can be made just alike by the millions. And he says, you're a spiritual rock. And I'm glad we got spiritual rocks in our church. Because we need different characteristics. We need different. And we need that lively stones. Lively stones. That means we're moving. We've got life. We're being joy in the Lord. And we've come out to the house of God to worship the God of the house of God. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
My hope is big.